This is the Green Zone.
Oh, my! He is the baddest man in the NFL!
This is the Green Zone with Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we got activity around the National Football League as we go into hour number two of the early games. And also, just a little teaser, we've got a Hall of Famer in the building that might be joining us in not too distant future. So don't go anywhere, people.
That's the great thing about being here. You never know who is going to be here. A Pro Football Hall of Famer coming up. Right now, we do have a quick score update. Yep. Tennessee in the end zone yet again is Ryan Tannehill to Nick Westbrook Irvin from Indiana University. Typical that an IU guy has the score on the Colts. 14-7 right now. 6 minutes left to go in the first half. Titans -7.5 currently at BetMGM. 51.5 your total.
And very quickly, it looks like the Washington football team's on the board as well, so I'm getting the points that I need there. We'll check in with
Buffalo.
AAA
had a 59-0 run going in terms of scoring.
Wow.
And now that is over because Washington football team is on the board. 9:51 left to go. Bills 21-7. Bills -16.5. 58.5 the current total.
Of course, football season is here. It's time to download BetMGM Sports. It's Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in the state. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Right now, the surprise of the day, I think early on, Wes, is what we're seeing between the Chargers and the Chiefs. Not so much that the Chargers are leading this game, as Sean Green has been updating on us, but it's the manner in which they're doing so with the rash of turnovers by the Chiefs. Sean, what's happening there? And when do you start thinking, uh-oh, my teaser here might get busted with the Chargers winning outright?
Yeah, I mean, your teaser is in trouble because right now the Chiefs, if you look at the live number, they're actually dogs right now on the money line. They're down 14-0. The Chargers extended their lead, a 14-yard touchdown reception by Austin Eckler. They got the two-point conversion. They're up 14-0. We saw a very vocal Patrick Mahomes on the sideline trying to fire up the troops. This is a very un-KC-like. And, I mean, they're facing a September home loss. And also to go 1-2, that is, I don't think many people saw that coming.
No, you're exactly right, Sean. And one thing that I was worried about with two teams today, potentially, would be the teams that gave away games a week ago. And that would be arguably the Chiefs, right? The Sunday night game against the Ravens up by 12, fourth quarter, and somehow they managed to lose that. They come home, you think, all right, veteran team, you got Andy Reid, you got Mahomes, you're going to be okay. And later on today, we'll check in on the Seahawks. They go on the road after giving away that game, as we saw, to Tennessee last week. So, Wes, sometimes there is a hangover effect, and maybe we're seeing a bit of that with Pat Mahomes.
The Kansas City faithful are singing Wake Me Up When September Ends, the famous Green Day song. By the way, three turnovers already for Kansas City. A Mahomes pick, a Tyreek Hill fumble, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble. It's not getting any better right now for Kansas City. Chargers -3.5 currently at BetMGM, 48.5 your current total.
Okay, right now, we know the Saints are on the move, and Ben Fox told us about this earlier. A big wager came in today on the Saints to go ahead and get this win. Last we saw, it was 7-0 Saints. Ben, let's go back out to you at South Point. What do you make of what you're seeing so far? Because it looks like the Patriots just can't move the football.
It's been all Saints, guys. Basically, the Patriots offense has been watching some paint dry here in the studio. Not a lot going on with Mac Jones. I think he's got about 30 yards passing. Saints forced the Patriots to punt, followed that up by blocking the punt, now have the ball again in the red zone. So it's already 7-0 Saints, and Saints driving again. So that, again, that better looking very good, holding that +3 ticket in hand.
Yeah, excellent stuff, Ben. Again, you look at some of these props that we saw today, boy, dead unders, it feels like. And there are some games right now that feel like dead under plays. The Bears right now and the Browns, no touchdown scored yet as they get close to halftime, still 3-3 there. And again, as Ben just alluded to, only one touchdown, 7-0 so far with the Saints.
Yeah, but
the
Saints are going to have to settle for three here. Jameis Winston took a sack on second down. So field goal attempt coming for New Orleans, about 4 minutes left to go in the first half. Saints trying to make it 10-0 in Foxborough.
We mentioned earlier that Justin Tucker, Mr. Reliable, who never misses, who did miss in Detroit, he did sneak one in. So the Ravens are on the board. They do have a 3-0 lead. But are you surprised by the lack of scoring outside of that Buffalo Bills game so far? A lot of plays to the under so far around the National Football League.
And by the way, really quickly, that field goal, no good. So still 7-0 Saints up in New England. And I'm not really that surprised because with all the injuries we're seeing today, it seems like every segment we've got a big injury. Somebody on the offensive line, somebody, a receiver, now two receivers out for the Giants, Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. So getting injuries all over the place. So slow start offensively in most of these games.
Okay, let's go back out to Dave Miller, who's watching that Ravens and Lions game. And Dave, I alluded to that Justin Tucker looks like he snuck one in there for Mr. Reliable. It's been a little shaky. He's 1-for-2 here. You expect him to be 2-for-2, but at least points on the board here.
Yeah, he hasn't been great today. And on that drive, the Ravens actually had a chance to reach the end zone twice. Lamar Jackson tried to hit Sammy Watkins on a go route down the sideline. Bobby Price made a nice play. Bobby Price, an undrafted guy that the Lions have, are forced to turn to because their secondary is decimated. And then Hollywood Brown dropped a touchdown on a go route, on a crossing route, in the end zone. So the Ravens settled for three. Lions near midfield now. I will say the Ravens have been able to generate pressure, not four-man pressure, on blitzes, though. Jared Goff's been under pressure all day. Lions, once again, near midfield, got to come up with some points.
All right, 3-0 right now, Ravens, but it feels like they're in control of that game. But again, when it's only 3-0, nothing really
and
is in control.
Speaking, Johnny on the spot there, Dave, speaking of that pressure, a sack on Jared Goff on third down, and they're not getting in from the defensive line, of course, because we mentioned three of the four starters on that defensive line are out for the Baltimore Ravens. So Jared Goff takes a sack here. Lions forced to punt.
We're going to go back up to AAA, and I don't know if you saw my facial expressions, but there's some craziness going on in Orchard Park. Now, again, remember, this was 21-0, then they get the big play for Washington football team. And then AAA on the kickoff, I mentioned to Wes, we're not getting bad weather per se, but we're getting a lot of wind. That might have just changed the whole complexion of this game, right?
It definitely did. Dustin Hopkins, he kicks the ball off. It basically hangs in the air like you're having your approach shot and you're going into, 20-mile-an-hour wind. It sits there. It's a two-club shot. The ball hangs up. It gets bounced around. He actually recovers it. The old, 50-yard onside kick play, they executed it to perfection. Washington's in the red zone. Antonio Gibson actually just dropped a touchdown, what would have been a touchdown.
Yes.
But he just scored a touchdown. So you're getting updates. It's happening all the time. This may be the momentum that Washington needs, okay? This is what Washington needs to get back into this game. Let's see what the defense can do. If they can handle those short zones, Washington has a definite chance here.
And what it is, AAA, and I know, great update, and it's happening as AAA is giving us the update. It's ODU's finest, Taylor Heinicke.
Hits the pylon.
And that's going to stand. That touchdown's going to... I got to tell you, I love watching this kid. I say kid. He's been around the block a little bit, but I think they're finally discovering. And this is what I was saying all summer long. I thought when they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick, I was like, you're not even going to give Taylor Heinicke a look. This kid's got something, Wes. And again, down 21-0 now, PAT pending, 21-13. He's just got a little moxie. He's got a little Brett Favre in him. That's what I see. And right now, boy, for a team that was down 21-0 in Buffalo, you could just throw up the white flag. They didn't do that, and they're back in this football
game. Yes, 21-14. Still 8 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Real quick, want to get this in.
Okay.
We did have, I mentioned the Lions were forced to punt. They recovered a fumble on a muff punt, but it was a penalty on the Lions.
Oh,
a guy ran out of bounds, one of the gunners, so they have to repunt it again. So Detroit wasn't able to get that turnover. Ravens will have the football midway through the second quarter, 3-0, -9.5 at BetMGM, 37.5 on the total.
Boy, when you mentioned that Saints game that they missed that field goal at 7-0, again, as Ben Fox has been doing a great job updating us on the big plays that he saw come in, and there was a huge wager that came in on the Saints here. Boy, when you give away those points in a game like this, and you're catching three if you were back in the Saints pre-flop here. But there's just points on the board that you can't afford if you're trying to pull that outright upset. Those things can come back to haunt you, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, and when you're a big underdog like Detroit is and you haven't won a game, you got a break there and you couldn't take advantage
of it.
With
a penalty, terrible penalty right there. Let's go back to Nate Jacobson watching the Bears and the Browns, kind of a rock fight so far as we approach the 2-minute warning. Nate, what's the tone and tenor that you're seeing with this game so far?
Yeah, Justin Fields has had a very rough afternoon in his return to Ohio, the former Ohio State quarterback. He's been sacked 4 times by the Browns. The Browns' defensive line is a complete mismatch for the Bears, or the Browns' defensive line, a complete mismatch for the Bears' offensive line. But on the other side, the Bears also have 3 sacks of the Browns as the Bears' pass rush is getting after Baker Mayfield, including 2 sacks on failed fourth down conversions by the Browns. But really, you see the score at 3-3, but the Browns are dominating this game statistically. Fields and the Bears offense hasn't been able to do anything. I know there's a lot of complaints as I look on Twitter and watch this game, just for my opinion, that the Bears are not getting Justin Fields out of the pocket. He's standing there and he is paying the price and getting hit a lot. So 3-3 right now, 2-minute warning, Cleveland, live line, Browns -3.5. They have the ball right now deep in their own territory. The Bears will start the second half with the ball. The total right now live 30.5. That's a total that closed 45.5. So, I mean, the over would maybe make sense if you believe in positive regression. But with the way both offensive lines are blocking, it seems like this is going to be a really tough game unless there's turnovers that lead to short field or a defensive touchdown. Mm-hmm. So Browns are dominating, but it's still tied 3-3.
Remember in the preseason when Justin Fields says, this game actually is pretty slow for me. Ooh. And it's like, welcome to the league, rookie. Myles Garrett already 2.5 sacks. That speed, you don't face Myles Garrett in college football. So 2.5 sacks already, and to Nate's point, 4 sacks already for the Browns.
Steelers on the move, and we've got a Hall of Famer in the building. Come on back. It's the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds, and a Hall of Famer in the house. Andre Reed, Buffalo Bills royalty in the house today.
I'm in the green room, so it's your royalty to you. You're royalty right now, man.
A Hall of Famer to balance out the Hall of Shamers here on this program.
Andre, it's great to have you in town, and welcome here to Circus Sports. It's wonderful to have you here, and you mentioned a lot of Bills Mafia house as well. How do you feel about the Bills? Obviously, week one didn't go the way you wanted to against Pittsburgh. Bounced back with that shutout win last week. Got up 21-0 on the Washington football team today. Right now, a bit of a dogfight, 21-14.
Yeah.
What do you make of what you've seen through 2.5 weeks?
Let me tell you, man, it's one thing about Bills fans, you know, Bills Mafia, like you said, they're gonna be with that team, doesn't matter where it is. If there was a game up on top of Mount Everest, Bills fans would be up there. That's just how it is.
That's the way they're all.
You know, one thing about those fans, they've been not only loyal to that city, they're so passionate about their football team. You know, they were voted again as the best fans, the best fans in the NFL, and they're great travel fans. They go at wherever. You know, I was in Oakland a couple of years back, and they took over Raider Nation. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Raider Nation.
Wow.
But, you know, we're kind of close to Raider Nation. This is Raider Nation here. Absolutely. So we're in Vegas now. But those fans are very loyal, and they've been loyal for 60 years. And you know, through the glory years when I was there, they were always there. So, and you know, they're picking this team to do some things this year. You know, go to a Super Bowl and finally win one. You know, and definitely if we win one, I will be there. No doubt about
and
it.
Andre, you played with one of the all-time greats, of course, Jim Kelly, for all those years up in Buffalo. But another good quarterback right now in Buffalo, kind of coming into his own in Josh Allen, 16-21, 164, 3 touchdowns already in the first half. So, has the fan base completely bought into Josh Allen?
Of course. I think, you know, back in when he came in 18 or 17 or 18, I was at the NFL draft in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And we had like a little thing. There's a bunch of Hall of Famers, and all the skill players were able to talk to the guys and just say, hey, what is it like in the league? You know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gravitated to Josh Allen. And I told people, I said, this is who we're going to pick.
Bam.
Bam. And he said, you know, Andre's got some, he's pretty good. He knows what he's doing. I said, I should be a GM.
Yeah, I was
right?
going to say, yeah. Anybody need to be in front
but
of office.
I think he's done a fabulous job of, you know, they gave him the keys and said, you're our guy. You got a big contract, you know, this past year. And once you get that kind of contract, they're expecting you to take your team to the Super Bowl and win it, just like, you know, what Mahomes has done.
No question. And again, it's tough to win league MVP, right, when you've got Patrick Mahomes. We still have Tom Brady playing at an elite level. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson won it not too long ago in Baltimore. But this feels like, to Wes's point, this is a MVP-style quarterback
exactly.
in the making, right? Because we saw year one, we worried about the completion percentage a little bit. He really has cleaned that up in short order.
Yeah.
Are there any holes in his game? Because Jim Kelly didn't have a whole lot going to the Hall of Fame like you did.
Well,
I wonder if there's anything there to be concerned with.
Well, I think, you know, his first couple years in the league, he was just like a normal college quarterback coming out. He wanted to do too much.
Right.
And I think I gave a lot of credit to Sean McDermott and that staff. Brian Daboll, they have calmed him down a little bit more. Take what the team gives you. And it doesn't hurt that you get a Stephon Diggs.
Well, that helped that a lot.
And you get a little bit, you know, we need a better running game.
Yeah.
I've always said a running game has been lacking the last few years. I think Zach Moss and Devin Singletary can do the job. But having Stephon there and all the other guys, Gabriel Davis and Cole Beasley, who's a crafty veteran mm-hmm. there in the middle of the field, it just adds weapons for Josh to make it better for that football team. And their defense is very underrated.
It is underrated.
It's underrated, man. They don't talk about the defense
a lot.
They
never do.
But happens the stability on that coaching staff, too. Of course, you mentioned Sean McDermott, now Brian Daboll. You had that continuity there in Buffalo, clearly, with Marv Levy and Ted Marchibroda, all those years that K-Gun offense. So
that's right.
Just I think when you can keep those guys together, I don't know if they can keep Brian Daboll. He might get a head coaching job here in a few months. But
no, I told him it's
very well, very, very well coached up there in Buffalo. I think a lot of Coach McDermott.
Exactly. And that's, you know, you look at the NFL in a whole, it's all about coaching, how these players buy into the system, and what those once they get out there and they got to make adjustments really fast. I was telling some people out here, well, how do these teams do it? And I go, these guys are just on the run so fast, they have to, or they're not going to win.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between winning and losing in this game. Of course, injuries have a lot to do with it, but if you don't adjust and be able to adjust on the run and see what the other team is doing and then make it work in real time, then it's a little tougher.
Right now, 12-1, the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I know you guys came so close 4 years in a row in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It was right there. I do want to talk about I love talking to Hall of Famers about how the game has changed a little bit, right? And some guys say, well, it's evolution. Some of those guys couldn't play in today's game. Is it still the same game? The rules feel like it would actually make it easier for you guys offensively than harder.
Of course it is. It is, you know, I mean, my best year I caught 93 balls. It was my best year. Now it's a career year. You know, you got 10 to 15 guys that are catching 120 balls. Stephon Diggs had 127 balls last year. You know, targets are different. Back then, there was no such thing as targets.
Right.
They let them guys back then beat the heck out of you guys at the line of scrimmage with receivers. Now, if you touch them.
I just want everybody to know out there, I really feel that right now. So, the game's a lot different all the way from how it's officiated.
Yes.
To, you know, hits, to salaries. Everything's different. And it's all in a big basket for the fans to enjoy. It's more of a game where it's all about scoring. They say defense wins championships. It's true, but you got to score points also. So it's more, you know, they want to see points.
And it is such a passing league now, too, because now it seems like the running back has like gone the way of the Edsel or something. Like you don't really have a lot of elite running backs. You played with one in Thurman Thomas, both catching and running the football. Yeah. And you just don't see these guys run the ball as much anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, Derrick Henry.
He's kind of an anomaly.
An anomaly.
Yes.
You don't see any Derrick Henrys anymore like that. But, you know, back, I think Adrian Peterson is probably the closest thing to a Derrick Henry during his day.
Yes. Can you solve one riddle for me? And I've brought this up when you talk about historical running backs. And you played in an era with three of the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about your running back, Thurman Thomas, of course, Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in the NFL, and Barry Sanders.
Yes.
I always feel like Thurman gets the short end of that conversational stick because to Wes's point, there wasn't anything on the football field he could not do.
Yeah.
Right? But why don't we talk about him in the context that we talk about Barry and Emmitt? And
that's a pretty good question. Obviously, Thurman was an all-around back. Barry Sanders. I mean, you can, when we played Detroit, you wanted to watch a Barry Sanders. Yes. Like watching Michael Jordan or Kobe, or going to golf and watching Tiger. I mean, that's really what, if you missed it, you missed it. That was your own fault. Just different backs. You know, Emmitt was more of a pounded guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that offensive line back in the day, and we played against them twice in the Super Bowl. And if you couldn't handle the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys, you're not going to stop Emmitt Smith.
Right.
And Barry Sanders was just, can stop on a dime and give you change, can split like an amoeba. I mean, watching Barry Sanders was...
Is there anybody today that reminds you of any of those type guys?
You know, if I thought about it, I mean, it's a hard question, because it's, you know, the game again.
It's different.
And every part of the game is different than it was in the 90s. I think it started changing in the 2000s, 2010s. But, you know, watching Emmitt, Barry Sanders, and Thurman Thomas, there was, to me, they were the three best during their time.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, again, we...
Even receivers, too.
You right. Know? The running back, to Wes's point, has kind of been taken out, except for the king, Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And besides that, guys feel interchangeable. Back in that era, to win and go to four Super Bowls, and the Cowboys winning Super Bowls, mm-hmm. I know the Lions didn't have that success. They all depended on those running backs primarily, and then everything else kind of fed off of that. So it was definitely a different era, and the rule changes, it's a great point. The game is just, it's officiated differently, and it's called differently than when you guys played.
Yeah, I wish they would
open it up a little bit.
Well, you know, the way I got hit a few times, I wish it would have been more flags. What happened to flags?
Where was my protection here?
But you know what? I took pride in that to a certain point. I think about it now. People say, well, how did you do it? And I go, well, that was my job, number one. And they relied on me every single game to do that. And we, you know, you take that part of it out of, you know, take that part out of our game, you don't win.
Yeah.
So I took pride in it.
Yeah, you should. And it was a great team, obviously, to watch the Bills do what you guys were able to have success with, going to the Super Bowls. And again, maybe this year's team can finally get over the hump, but it's good to see the Bills back to the place.
Vegas,
that you guys
watch out. I just want you to know, Vegas, if we win the Super Bowl, Vegas will no longer be Vegas. It'll be Buffalo Vegas.
or Bills Mafia Vegas.
This will implode, and I'll have to rebuild the high rises again.
Okay. That sounds like a challenge to Raider Nation out here, Wes. But
I'm here now. This is not, you know, I'm actually going to the game today. My girlfriend has two clients at one place for the Raiders.
Okay.
And then a friend of ours who works with her, he's an agent, got one place for the Dolphins. So we're going to the game, and we're going to enjoy it there. Never been to Allegiant Stadium.
It's beautiful. You'll like it.
I was at the SoFi, you know, a couple weeks back, and I'm going to make a comparison. I don't think you can compare billion-dollar stadiums, can you?
It's a pleasure having a Hall of Famer right in here. Andre Reed, thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, guys.
We appreciate it. Enjoy
Go
the
Bills,
game today.
Baby. Go Bills.
Back here in the Green Zone, much more scoring updates when you come back with us. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every single game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line over-unders and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It was great having Andre Reed, the Hall of Famer, wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills, joining Wes and I here on the Green Zone. But we have a lot of updates to get to. And Wes, let's start off with what you're seeing so far, Cardinals and Jags, before we go to Arthur.
Yeah, and by the way, that score 24-14 nearing the end of the first half, Buffalo over the Washington football team. But back to Arizona, Jacksonville. Second half now at BetMGM, Arizona -8.5, 26 in terms of the second half total. Arizona, by the way, is down 13-7, and Arthur Arkish is going to get us updated on the particulars of how that happened, because it was about the craziest end of the first half that we have seen so far in this 2021 season. Arthur, what do you got?
Guys, leave it to the Jacksonville Jaguars to spice up what had been a really kind of dull Sunday thus far. Jamal Agnew with a kick six on the final play of the first half takes it 109 yards, bringing back Matt Prater's 67-yard miss. Just a remarkable turn of events. This came only moments after Trevor Lawrence found DJ Shark in the corner of the end zone for a TD. So from 7-0 to 13-7 in the blink of an eye, and the underdog Jaguars suddenly showing some fight.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I think at some point, Cliff Kingsbury, they're going to say, why did you, I know the Iron Bowl and Nick Saban, Alabama, Auburn, right, years ago. But they're going to say, why are you trying on a grass field?
Yeah.
And Prater's got a big leg. Does he have a 68-yard leg on grass? I mean, maybe in a dome, you understand that.
You know, everybody, the more maligned coach coming into this game, of course, was Urban Meyer, who is only in his third game as an NFL head coach. But Cliff Kingsbury saying, hold my beer, because he sometimes seems overmatched as an NFL head coach. And that's why I was on the Jaguars first half in game today. Even though they're bad, terrible spot for the Arizona Cardinals
today.
Yeah,
so far, not so good. Up 7-0, and then as we mentioned there with Arthur, at a blink of an eye, 13-7. Let's go back out to Nate Jacobson. He's watching the Bears and the Browns game, and again, not a lot of offense. We didn't expect a lot, Nate, but are we getting anything now out of the home team?
Yeah, we got something after the two-minute warning. Last time I talked to you guys, it was in the two-minute warning timeout. It was 3-3. The Browns had a 3rd and 5 deep in their own territory, and Baker Mayfield converted with an 18-yard pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones. And that kind of got the Browns going, and they ended up scoring a pass from Mayfield to Austin Hooper for 13 yards right before the end of the first half. So the Browns got in the end zone. They're up 10-3. And it really looked on that drive, the Bears defense was gassed. And it makes sense if you look at the box score. The Browns have run 44 offensive plays in the first half. The Bears only 16. The Browns have 17 third first downs. The Bears only have 2. So the Browns really dominating this game, even though they're only up 10-3 with the Bears getting the ball to start the second half. Right now on the live line, Browns -9.5. Total 34.5 as we are at halftime right now in Cleveland.
And to Nate's point, 224-41, and when you run 28 more plays, you're going to have a discrepancy in the yards. But seeing kind of the screen here in the second half, juiced a little bit to the Bears side because now we're seeing -3, -$1.05 at BetMGM. So that would essentially make it Browns -10. So you're seeing a little bit of support in the second half for the Bears side, thinking, okay, if they just run some plays, maybe they can hang in this number. I laid 7 with Cleveland, 21.5, by the way, the second half total at BetMGM. So that would make that an adjusted number of 34.5.
I got to think if you're a Chiefs backer, maybe you're thinking, all right, this can't last what happened in the first half. It's got to change in the second from particulars on that. Let's go back out to Sean Green. Sean, my teaser scenario is not looking good with all these turnovers in the first half of the home team.
Yeah, your teaser and everyone else's teaser is on life support as the Kansas City Chiefs are down 11 at home. They narrowly avoided being shut out in the first half, got a field goal late to cut the deficit from 14-0 to 14-3. They've actually outgained the Chargers as far as yardage, 207 to 154 in the first half. However, the key to the game has been the turnovers. They've turned the ball over 3 times, and that really is the story of the game. They do start with the ball in the second half, so again, if there's anyone that's going to come back down 11, you would think it's Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, great stuff, Sean. And Wes, when you see that, Chiefs getting 2.5 now. I say again, getting 2.5 now. Are we going to believe that the first half was an aberration and they wake up in the second?
You know, if anybody can do it, it's the Chiefs. And to your point, in terms of the offensive explosiveness, second half total is getting bet to the over. It opened 27.5, now seeing 28 over -$1.15 at BetMGM. That essentially would make that total 45. It was 55 pre-flop, went up a couple points during the week. So currently you're seeing the Chiefs -8.5, so essentially +2.5. For the end game. If anybody can all of a sudden get it going, it is this team, but they look absolutely out of sync in the first half with 3 turnovers.
Absolutely. Speaking of out of sync, the Steelers offense out of sync a lot in that first half. Let's go back out to Peter Dewey watching the Bengals and the Steelers and some late action there for the visiting team. Right, Peter?
Yeah, guys, we finally got some points. It was fun to watch. The Steelers had a very nice drive to tie this game up. They went to Najee Harris a lot, which I think needs to be more of their game plan going forward. He had a big 20-yard run. They were able to get a couple passes to him into the red zone before a Pat Freiermuth touchdown. But Joe Burrow came right back. He found Ja'Marr Chase for a 34-yard touchdown pass, and that connection is looking just as good as it did at LSU at the start of the season. So right now, I believe 4.5-point favorites for Cincinnati right now. I got to say the Bengals look like the better team right now. Pittsburgh's had one drive that they were able to really move the ball. Everything else has been a punt or that interception by Roethlisberger.
Yeah, great stuff, Peter. And again, that's why we go to our correspondents like Peter Dewey here, because he can give you the vibe of the game by watching every play. And right now, Cincinnati does seem like the better team. Yeah. It's reflected now at the 4.5 points.
3.5 yards a play for the Steelers, 8.2 for the Bengals. This was a contest play, not something I bet, but a contest play my partner and I use, and we were texting over to the break. It's like, we're on a dead side here, it seems like, with Pittsburgh, and it's absolutely bearing fruit on the scoreboard, 14-7 Bengals at the half.
One game still not at the half just yet, as Buffalo is trying to get points before the end of the half, about 6 seconds to go there in Orchard Park. It's been a kind of a shootout wild first half, 24-14 right now. Not as crazy in Detroit, and I believe we'll check in with Dave Miller a little bit later on, but right now the Falcons and the Giants, let's go to the Meadowlands. Will Hill is watching this game. We apologize to Will at the beginning of this show, saying we this is the game you got, Will. Are we getting a game?
I'm not going to say this game isn't exciting. I am watching the Pirates and the Phillies right now, so that might give you an idea.
Because we both have Phillies to win NL East tickets.
That
absolutely
is dirty, Will.
I can't believe the Braves came back last night. Down 3 runs, down 4 runs. Then again, down a run in the ninth with 2 outs. I digress. The Falcons on a short field get a touchdown on 3rd down before the half to go up 7-6. They actually got the ball back again. They stripped the Giants, returned it to about the 35-40-yard line of the Giants, and then they gave it back right before the half. So we go in 7-6. Just been ugly on both sides. Both teams have a hard time blocking. Injuries are the story here. Now, Saquon Barkley is back. He was being looked at by trainers, but Shepard is out for the Giants. Darius Slayton is out for the Giants. It might be, I believe it's Kadarius Toney is how you pronounce it. It might be time for him. That the Giants spent a first-round pick on him out of Florida. You know, obviously a lot of talent, so it might be time for him. The Giants will get the ball to start the second half. I'm seeing it. It opened Falcons plus 2.5 for the second half. I already got him plus 3. I did bet him again for the second half plus 2.5. I had him for the first half plus 2.5 as well. But it's bet down, I believe, to 1.5
it
now.
Is.
So the live Giants plus 1.5. And those half points, shop for the best line because every half point is valuable, especially when you're on an uneven score like this, 7-6. You could see a 1-point victory by either team, 2-point victory. So the point's very valuable here. I would look towards Atlanta here.
Will, is that line, is it baked in for the emotional juggernaut that's going to be the second half for the Eli Manning, you know, retirement at halftime? Are they going to be fired up for that in the second half? Is that baked into that number?
I don't think there's anything to that. I mean, it's nice for him. I don't know that the players care. And I don't know that the fans are – I'm sure the fans have a nice sentimental moment, but, I mean, what's the mood in that building like? I mean, this team, they've been bad for a long time, dating back to the Eli Manning years. I mean, this team, they haven't won a playoff game since the Giants won that Super Bowl in 2011 into 2012. They're off to another bad start this year. I don't know that that building is rocking like you guys might think.
Yeah, and I kid, but, you know, you would think – like, fight for Eli, James.
Right.
Come on, Big Blue, do something here.
Right, absolutely. About to go into an 0-3 hole if this continues. And right now, just starting the second half, by the way, so a little late on this halftime line. Colts or Titans minus 1 for the second half. By the way, Quentin Nelson not going to return for this game for Indianapolis, nor is A.J. Brown for Tennessee.
We only have a minute before we have to hit a break, but let's try to sneak in a quick update with Dave Miller watching the Ravens and Lions. It has gone to the half. Dave, it feels like, boy, the visiting team, it could be worse for the home team, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of mistakes on both sides of the ball for both teams. The Ravens have a 10-0 lead at the half. They'll get the ball back. Marquise Brown has 3 drops in this game, 2 of which were almost assuredly going to be touchdowns. But the backbreaker for the Lions on 3rd and 18, they give up a 19-yard touchdown to Devin Duvernay to make it 10-0. The Lions have just shot themselves in the foot in typical Lions fashion.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the Lions have been doing. They've been hanging around a lot of these games. They just can't seem to figure out a way to get
over. I'm not liking my +8 necessarily on Detroit right now. They're getting outplayed. It seems like they should be in the game, but they are not.
When we come back, we do have some third quarter updates. And right now, the Browns sitting all over the Bears and their rookie quarterback. Come on back with us. It's the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. C Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any team, and if any either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VEASAN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VEASAN200 to win $200 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Back here on the Green Zone, Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds as we go into the third quarter in every game around for the 1 o'clock Eastern starts here. And again, waiting for Kansas City to get things started up. That has not happened to date. Yeah. Anything else really sticking out to you right now, Wes?
We do still have two games at halftime, by the way, so I want to get those lines out there. Baltimore 10-0 over Detroit. We mentioned the struggles of Marquise Hollywood Brown.
My goodness.
You know, he was saying last year, you got to give it to your soldier. Well, your soldier can't drop the ball, and he's dropped a few today. Lions or Ravens, by the way, -4.5, 23.5, the second half total, juice to the under at BetMGM, -$1.20. And the Washington football team and Buffalo Bills, finally at halftime, absolute shootout there, 27-14. That total in the first half was like 23, 23.5, and that's what it is for the second half. And the Buffalo Bills, -0.5 at BetMGM, so 13.5, the adjusted line.
You know, I always feel good when you have a wide receiver doing your updates for you, and we've got a really good one in AAA, Anthony Armstrong, who's watching that Buffalo game against the Washington football team. And if you're with us in the first hour, Anthony, being a wide receiver, actually caught his ring light as it was attempting to fall on him. Things have been falling over on the Washington football team, Anthony. What do you make of what you saw in that first half as we get ready for half number two?
Well, I can tell you it was definitely a tale of two quarters. The first quarter didn't really look too hot for the offense on Washington. The Buffalo offense, they've been looking great the whole game. They're spending their time picking the ball, picking the defense apart, hitting up the zones. Josh Allen, they're negating the pass rush by getting the ball out quickly. So you continue to see that go throughout the game. I know Andre Reed, he spoke about the running game, the running game going on, but they're using the short passing game to kind of act as a running game. Just before the half, though, big thing, Brandon Scherff actually ran into the wall on an interception that was negated by penalty. He was escorted off the field, so we're going to be interested to see if he gets back into the game, maybe a concussion or something like that. So that's something to watch who goes in that guard, if there will be some pressure on Taylor Heinicke, knowing that they're going to have to throw the ball to get some points on the board. Also, haven't seen much from Terry McLaurin in a while. Tre'Davious White must be settling in, finding ways to lock him down and not go towards Terry's name. Good night. All these T's. There's a Taylor. There's a Terry. Yeah.
Taylor,
there's a
Tre'Davious. Yep.
Y'all help me out. Yeah. Help me out, please.
We got you.
And Triple A, very quickly to that end about Taylor Heinicke, because I'm enthralled with the guy. Obviously, I really liked him. ODU product. I'm a Virginia Beach kid as well, so I'm rooting for the local kid there. But what have you seen so far in that first half? Look, he made mistakes in that Giants game on the Thursday night, but still led them ultimately to victory in that one. What are you seeing here? Is this a guy that really has got long-term potential, or is he really just keeping the seat warm until Ryan Fitzpatrick can come back?
You know, he's one of those guys that I think it's kind of like a golf game where you have a good drive and then you duff your second shot, you know, but then you come back and you have a good chip and you make the putt and you find a way to save bogey. He's kind of like that. Some plays, he looks very comfortable in the pocket, and he also goes off and throws an interception. He should have had his second. It got negated, like I said, by a penalty on the Buffalo defense. So he's kind of late on throw, doesn't have the biggest arm, but he brings some excitement. He brings some electricity to this offense that if he can get on a roll, it can be a scary team. But until then, you're not really sure what you're going to get. So hopefully this starting this third quarter is something he can work with.
To AAA's point in terms of the short passing game, using it as a running game, Brian Daboll, and we spoke about that with Andre Reed here earlier in the hour, great offensive coordinator. He wants him to stay in Buffalo, obviously, but I think he's going to get a head job. Josh Allen, 22-28, 263, and 3 touchdowns already in a high-scoring game up there in Buffalo.
Keep those points going. I played the over there, a small play, so I'm liking where it stands after the first half, that's for sure. Let's go back over to Ben Fox. He's at South Point watching the Patriots and the Saints, and again, it doesn't even feel like a sweat right now if you're a backer of the Saints. Is that subject to change here, Ben? What are you seeing?
No, so same report. I feel like Will last week with the Panthers, right? We're just saying every update, it's more Panthers against the Saints. Well, this is the opposite. It's been all Saints here. The 14-3 at halftime, and then the first play of the second half, basically just a crossing route to Jonnu Smith. Mac Jones throws it. Jonnu Smith bobbles it in the air directly to Malcolm Jenkins, who returns it for a touchdown. So it's now 21-3. Patriots just got the ball back and just proceeded to go 3 and out. So again, Saints getting the ball back, up 21-3. Saints cover that first half number plus 2.5, and game stays under the first half total. So all Saints here. Just got to give you another quick update as well, since, you know, cover all those big bets. I'm not sure why, but somebody had $400,000 on the Lions first half plus 4.5.
Oh.
Halftime score there, Ravens 10. Lions nothing, so that bet does not cash. Again, I don't tell you whether to make them. I'm just reporting what they are.
That's all you do, Ben, and that's good. That's good information. Boy, you're Zippo.
Yeah,
Lions with the big goose egg.
Somebody had a lot more guts than I did. I did bet Detroit. I didn't bet 400 gur on them, but that, of course, that wager goes by the wayside here. And to Ben's point, back to this game, 21-3 now. Saints with the ball in their own territory very early on in the second half. Saints minus 14.5 at BetMGM on the live play, 43.5 your current total.
Yeah, and again, when you go to cash that ticket and it's got zero, that's the number of points Detroit has on the board so far. That Ravens defense, you know it's going to travel. It has. It could even be worse right now from what we saw from that first half with the Ravens having that 10-point lead.
And the Colts settle for three here, 6:26 left to go. Rodrigo Blankenship, 28 yards, hashtag respect the specs. It is now 14-13, and then just to reset the injury situation, A.J. Brown not going to return for Tennessee, nor is Quentin Nelson for Indianapolis.
Okay, we do have life for my teaser, because we're going to go back out to Sean Green with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Sean, give me some good news from the home team.
Well, the good news is the Chiefs have cut the lead to 4 points. Patrick Mahomes on a passing touchdown, cutting the deficit to 4 points. Chiefs, again, no trouble moving the ball. This time they didn't turn it over, and they got points. So they're back in this game. Teases are alive and well. Your survivor pick is alive and well. And those Chiefs moneyline parlays, which I'm sure some people are sweating out, are alive and well. We'll see if they can answer on the defensive side.
Yeah, and the problem with teasers, as Sean well knows, is it's just not one play. Like for me, I need Arizona to come back as well. They're still down 13-7 right now to the hapless Jaguars, as Urban Meyer is trying to get his first win here as an NFL head coach. But the Cardinals are on the move here, just under 10 minutes to go here in the third quarter.
Cardinals minus 3.5 right now in the in-game, 45.5 the current in-game total. Of course, Artie Arkish described the kick six, basically,
yes,
like an Iron Bowl. Auburn, Alabama, that's what it was. So Jaguars fighting a little bit today, and I thought that this was a tough spot. And actually, Arthur can go ahead and get us updated on this one. Arizona kind of in that dead spot, two divisional games the next 2 weeks. What are we seeing down there in Duval, Arthur?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. They're a little flat, a lot of unforced errors, but they are moving now after an interception. Kyler Murray getting a little greedy to open the second half. Defense quickly got the ball back, and Arizona's marching, had a big third down conversion from Kyler to A.J. Green, and they're threatening. They're looking to get back in this thing again, down 6 points, and saw their lead just disappear in a heartbeat in the first end of the first half.
Absolutely, Arthur. And it looks like they just tried to go for a back shoulder throw on 3rd and 3. So 4th and 3 now. We'll see what Cliff Kingsbury calls here, whether or not they go for it or if they take the three. Again, we're going to be talking a lot about this with coaches and decisions. Look, they decided to kick a 68-yard field goal, and that turned around to really bite them, as Arthur pointed out here, with the Iron Bowl scenario. So
offense
we'll find out
staying on the field, by the way. 9 minutes to go here in the third quarter, 13-7 Jags.
Why,
so
Wes?
4th and 3 now from the 27. Kingsbury going to stay on the field.
So we're going to try a 68-yarder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to attempt this when you're down 6 and would cut it to 3. I'm no mathematician, but are you trying to win or are you trying to play analytics? Like, sometimes that's what I – and I know people are going to say, well, the analytics are the way to win. Sometimes, whether you get it or not, it looks like they might have gotten
this
first down.
They do get it. Christian Kirk gets 4 yards. They needed 3, so the drive will continue.
I just don't know that that justifies it as the right call.
Right, and I think, look, and it ended up working out, at least continue to drive here, but I think when you look, and you get desperate when you do something that doesn't work out, and obviously that decision at the end of the first half, and we're not being Monday morning quarterback and second guessing. If we were watching it, we had Andre in here live when that happened. It's like, I want to first guess him because it's like, why do you do that? You know, just live to fight another day here.
And again, don't we remember last year with Kyler Murray against the Buffalo Bills when you throw a Hail Mary?
Yeah, and don't let a bad team start to believe, because there at least is a little bit of belief with Jacksonville, which there hasn't been much of this season.
Not at all. But again, the Cardinals are driving, so I know a lot of people like me did tease these games down, certainly with the Chiefs and certainly with Arizona. Right now, those teams right now trailing. Let's see if they can get back into those respective games. Updates galore. Adjusted line totals when you come back with us. It is the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.